down, Chicago Bears. Make every kick be a kick through those upright things. Maybe the underwears were too tight for that kicker named Cody Parkey. We'll never forget the kick that hit the goal post. Hey, who's got Bobby Gould's phone? We had a real good year. So let's not let this get us down. Turn that frown upside down. Baseball soon in town. Chicago Bears, bear down.
That's really good.
We know God. Now go to Mr. Fix-It Lou Manfredini. Our own Mr. Fix-It Lou Manfredini, who is at the game. Where were you sitting, Lou?
We were sitting on the side of the field at the goal line where one Cody Parkey kicked the field goal that hit the goalpost. We were on that actual side of the goalpost and watched it. And the guy next to me who said, you know how they call the timeout right before he kicked the practice one to ice him?
Mm-hmm.
And the guy during the game said, you know, I think kickers should always kick that kick even if they blow the whistle. It's like a practice kick.
Yeah.
And he kicked it, and he made it. And I turned to the guy and go, oh, you must have texted the coach.
Nice. And nice. Then, everything's good. We got it.
We got this. We were all excited. Yeah.
But then walk through.
Really...
So then you were in the stands, you and your wife and son and daughter-in-law, right? Were sitting there, son's girlfriend. Yeah.
Not quite yet. Yeah.
Pardon me.
First of all, the atmosphere was amazing. I mean, everybody was super jazzed. It was loud. They passed out these white towels. I'm sure on television they showed people.
It looked great. Look great on TV.
Howling and screaming and spinning. There were not that many Eagles fans there. I kept commenting like, wow. I mean, the Bears fans just outnumbered the Eagles fans like crazy. I mean, in our section where we were, I literally counted 10 people in the section. I don't know how many hundreds of people are there. But the atmosphere was super fun. The game was not, you know, it wasn't like this offensive, spectacle, but the defense was playing well, and you were back and forth.
It was an exciting game. And if ever there was something that just had your stomach in knots, it was the time management at the end. Should they call timeouts? Should we call timeouts? Because it looks inevitable that they're going to score, so we'll want more minutes or seconds on the other side. It was sort of this chess game in real time. You have 30, 40 seconds. Make up your mind. What are you going to do? And are they going to score? And are we regretting that we didn't kick the extra point after our previous touchdown? There were just so many things happening. And when they scored that touchdown, you thought, we're toast. And then they sort of shanked the kickoff. And now, what do you know? We run it pretty well. We're at the 40-yard line. I think we only got to get 20, 30 yards. You can do that in the NFL. The defense is played soft. So we'll be in field goal. Oh, no, our field goal kicker. And then they cut to the inevitable shot. Lou, this is the way it played out on TV, on the sidelines, to Bobby Gould. Nobody's talking to Bobby Gould. To Cody Parkey, nobody's talking to him. He's kicking into that net, thinking to himself, don't think about thinking about it. He was thinking about it. And then when he got out there and they iced him, my strategy as a coach is always to, and I'd never get to do this, but it would be, they know that you're going to ice them and that this first lineup get ready to kick isn't going to happen. So mentally, I think the kicker isn't, in fact, ready to kick it for that first one. And I think you shouldn't call a timeout. He'll get the yips. He'll think, okay, they're going to call timeout. They're not calling timeout. Oh, my God, I got to kick it. In fact, he kicked it and it went through. But it went through on the left side a little bit. And I thought,
oh no,
that's got to be in his head a little bit.
But here's the thing, John. I mean, all of that is great for you and I who are not kickers. This is what these guys do all the time, okay? I mean, he goes to work Monday through Friday or however many days a week he works, and all he does is kick the ball. And so where you and I would get super nervous, I would think that at some point, you know, they got to really do whatever to teach these guys. He really has one job, kick the ball through those uprights. And I'm sure it's not easy, but there's plenty of other people that have done it. And what I thought was really kind of crazy is as we were leaving the stadium and everybody's super sad, people are, you know, cussing and yelling and screaming, all these people around us going, you know, Robbie Gould's going to be a free agent next year. You know, Robbie Gould's going to be a free agent. And then I see on Twitter, he was at the game with his family.
Yeah, Robbie Gould. With his sons. Yeah.
Couldn't we have called him down?
Will Bobby Gould please report to the football field?
What would you have done with the voodoo dolls?
You know, so it was either in the Tribune or I read the Philadelphia Inquirer today, too. And it's just so funny to see the game's coverage turned upside down, right? Like, you, nothing can stop us now. And you know, they talked about that final play. And they noted how many times he's missed kick attempts this year. But they were obviously celebratory. And also sort of the fans in Philadelphia or the Philadelphia Inquirer today had an air of inevitability. You know, it's this team that's now a team of destiny. Nobody thought that they'd win out to win enough games to be in the playoffs. They're a wild card team. Everybody thought the Bears were going to win. And then, lo and behold, the thing goes doink. What I don't understand, Lou, and how's your wife doing, by the way?
She's very sad. She
in bed
here's
still?
The worst part about here's the worst part about it. You know, my wife who loves the movies, she had the Golden Globes taped the beginning of it, right? So we got home after the game and we watched the rest of the Golden Globes, whole nother story. But then she's like, "Oh, let's go back and watch the beginning." Well, right as we go to start the recording, it starts at the kick. So we watched it. She's like, "Oh my gosh, this is what I didn't want to have to relive." And it starts at right at the end of the game, right before the Golden Globes start. So it was bad. She's not happy.
What went through there? You guys were maybe the most perfect slash worst seat in Chicago for that kick. You guys were on the line on the post.
On the side. We were on the sideline. So we were on the Bears bench side, literally at the goal line. On the Bears sideline, so it hit that goalpost. So the worst seat would be in the end zone.
What was the
feeling?
Because
when it doinked and hit the bottom doink, it could have bounced the other way.
Yeah, I know, I know. And what then went through the crowd? Just a gasp and quiet? Was it cursing? What was it?
No, it was, John, it was almost, you heard this, "Oh, no." And then it was completely silent. Everybody was in disbelief. I mean, when they took some shots later, I saw the highlights of like Matt Nagy and even Mitch Trubisky, their mouths wide open. Yeah. I looked around. That's how everybody was. Like, no. I mean, you couldn't write it any better if you're a Philadelphia fan.
If ever a look said, "I can't believe it," it was Matt Nagy's expression. It was perfect. An actor
would have been so much better had he missed it, just missed it. But the fact that he hit the goalpost after what was the game where he doinked it four times, right? Five times? What
four.
Was it?
Yeah, he had a game where it was four.
Was record breaking.
So is anybody interested in the part of the conversation where they actually got a hand on the ball, that they did deflect it ever so slightly, maybe enough to make a difference? I mean, we're talking about inches here.
Sure. No, I mean, I think that, you know, if I saw that highlight too, and if that in fact is the case, where it's a little tough to tell, but if a player got a hand on it, well, then they did their job. And then that certainly, when you see that kick go off, at first it's like going right down the pipe, but it's hooking like crazy. He's got, let's see. I don't know. Is he a left-handed kicker? Or
no, he's
right?
A right. He kicks with his right. What would it be, a hook or a slice? That would be a hook. He hooked it. John, I texted my son, Grant, who follows sports more closely than I and has, in my mind, a critical eye and mind on these things. And I said, "Did you see the story that shows that Cody Parkey's field goal was tipped?" And my son wrote back, "Yeah." It was also pointed out that even though it was tipped, it was still a really bad kick, since the guy that tipped it didn't get much penetration. Either way, I don't care. I feel bad for him. Bears offense did not play well. And also, he shouldn't have been in that position, because he should have been cut weeks ago. They kept dragging out this bad kicker to miss kicks. Right? There was a certain inevitability to it. That's an interesting thought.
Well, I don't disagree with that at all. I mean, look, we were all looking around during the game, the crowd, you know, there were a lot of prognosticators around me, people that were, you know, much bigger football fans of me, and we all were saying how we thought that the offensive play calling was uninspired, and the offense just didn't look, you know, they were just sort of meandering around, and we were, you know, when you're watching the game live, you get to see stuff you don't get to see on TV, like, "Wow, that guy's wide open," or, "Oh, that guy fell down," and, you know, the TV camera tends to follow the ball, and so it was just kind of like, you know, we're going to win this on defense, and the defense played well. But, hey, you know, anybody that's coached, I know you've coached and I've coached, you know, the old saying is the close ones get lost by coaching. They get lost by coaching. We lost by one.
Well, are you talking about the extra point that we didn't kick? Or just the general play call, just overall?
Right, just overall. But okay. When, you know, you historically, when the games are that tight, it's usually some coaching mistake or coaching philosophy that cost it. And, you know, hey, it's a team sport, right? Everybody misses a play or, you know, the guy makes a completion, you know, whatever. You're right. Cody Parker shouldn't have been in that position, but you're right. He wasn't proving himself this year. It'll be interesting to see what happens if he's around next year.
He's getting millions of dollars, which a lot of people want to remind us. I think it's a $9 million deal and a couple million more guaranteed. He got $4 million this year. So the guy's making millions of dollars. I do think that cushions the blow. I really do. I mean, I know he feels terrible, but I do think that it's not like, oh, no, I'll never work again, and now I have to go back to school and get a degree in accounting. No, if you have $7 million, you can stop now. I mean, you're set for life.
You know who's happy that you know who his last team was that's happy he doesn't play for him anymore?
Yeah, the Eagles.
The Eagles. I mean, how funny is that?
All the more reason to me for him to really want to make the kick, and all the more tragic. I thought about this, Lou. Suppose I went to a Chevy dealer today and Cody Parkey had a scheduled appearance, and so there he is. If I walked in there... These are the thoughts I think, so you don't have to. I think, okay, if I walked up to Cody Parkey today, when I want to slap him or hug him, which one are you, Lou?
I'd hug him.
Violetta Pogrometic, slap or hug Cody Parkey, go.
I feel really bad for him. Plus, I like that he still talked to the cameras after the game.
Steve Bertrand, slap, hug, go.
Hug. You don't slap.
Yeah, well, a lot of people
are. The only time you slap is when someone dogs it to first base or they don't, you know.
Make an effort.
He certainly was doing his very best to make that kick.
Anybody wanted to make that damn kick, it was Cody Parkey. It was such a colossal elephant in the room. None of us can imagine the kind of pressure brought to bear. And so this notion that, hey, you've got one thing to do and you're getting paid millions of dollars to do it, doesn't help. That kind of makes it worse.
And it all comes down to this.
This, I know, it's the flaw.
After the whole season.
It's a flaw in the game to me. I still don't understand why football loves the fact that you've got 300-pound men who can run really fast and do things none of us can imagine, right? Catch a pass with one hand, run through tackles, all of that stuff. And then when it really matters the most, after the end of the season, now you're in the playoffs, and it comes up to a guy named Cody to kick a ball through the uprights. It's like a different game.
Yeah, but you had
just
2 hours.
Yeah. The NFL has changed the ruling on the play from I'm not kidding you. From a missed field goal to a blocked kick.
Ah!
Wow.
You know, and then...
But shouldn't he kick it higher then?
There you go. Yeah, he should have kicked it
higher. You know, if Violetta's pretending she's hugging him, she's going to kick him.
You know, but this attitude of, I'm so... You know, Carol, one of our staff members here, is the nicest person around. You will not run into many people nicer than Carol. And she was mad today. And I'm... Carol, I love you. But if you were at that Chevy dealership... At the Cody Parkey appearance, which, you know, he's really mad at his agent for setting up right now, I would say...
Timing is everything, although there's great financing available on a new Chevrolet. Keep going.
And on a Cody Parkey jersey. So I would just want to pat him on the back and go, dude, I'm so sorry for you. I'm not mad. I'm sorry. That's my driving emotion. Today. All right. Well, nice to hear your voice, Lou. I knew you were there. I wonder what it was like for you in the stands.
It was a really fun atmosphere. You know, and ironic twist, what was fun for me is that my oldest son, whom I got to go to the game with, as well as my wife and his girlfriend, he and I were both at the last Bears playoff game when they lost to the Packers in 2010.
In 1974.
So, wow. Right, he was an embryo, and it was fun to be there. The atmosphere was great. It was really interesting to see the crowd. Chicago looked good. You know, I mean, everybody was really happy. It was a really nice. It was a nice kind of testament to look at all these people focused on this one thing, and it just was a crummy outcome in the end. So,
John, how come no one is talking about the Vonnegut Bears defense giving up that TD on fourth down with a minute to go? Make that stop. I can't make it stop. Nice to talk to you, Lou Manfredini. We'll listen to you on Saturday, my friend.
Go Hawks.
Noted. Go White Sox. Are you kidding me?
Yeah.
Actually, I like the story in the paper today. See you, Lou. It says the Hawks are not giving up on the playoffs, and I'm glad to hear that. One more time, bear down.